For those of you that have never been to Gita Nagari before, you're in for a treat. I've been here many, many times for retreats, and there's something very magical about Gita Nagari. I like saying it because it's true, and the experience, there's different kinds of retreats that I participated here in Gita Nagari. But without exception, from my experience, Radha Damodar are exceptionally merciful deities, and this is their holy dham. And approach them. They're very approachable. They're very, very approachable, very personal, and magical things can happen in your Krishna consciousness by being here and receiving their mercy. So that's one of the reasons why we selected Gita Nagari as our venue. There's other reasons, but a little remote, a little difficult to get to, you know, but farm committees are supposed to be a little remote, not urban, not right next to the airport. The occasion today is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur and the appearance day of Bhaktivinod Thakur. So I wasn't given an assignment what to speak about, so I decided to speak about these two great personalities and connect it with the activity that we're gathered here for. I hope that will be accomplished. There actually is a very intimate connection between Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinod Thakur, although time was separating. And so we'll touch on that too as we go along. The pastimes of Haridas Thakur are very profound. We'll just touch on a few of them. As Sanatan Goswami said about Haridas Thakur, when Haridas Thakur was appreciating the good fortune, the very special, unique relationship that Sanatan Goswami had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged by his internal potency this most amazing pastime with Sanatan Goswami where he was left with nothing but shelter at Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he was, then Lord Chaitanya performed a miracle. He just embraced Sanatan Goswami, and the disease that Sanatan Goswami had, wet itches, as it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, just vanished. And when Mahaprabhu left, Haridas Thakur was, Sanatan Goswami, you are so dear to Lord Chaitanya. You are the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And Sanatan Goswami said, you are the greatest recipient of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy because you have both perfection of achar, your conduct, and prachar, your preaching. You pass on the message of Lord Chaitanya's very reason for appearing. He appeared to deliver the holy name, and you're the achari of the chanting of the holy name. How dear to you, how does Lord Chaitanya hold you? Haridas Thakur is a very special, special personality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And this is his disappearance day, and the disappearance pastime I'll describe, but very beautiful painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picking up and carrying in his arms and dancing and dancing and dancing ecstatically after Haridas Thakur had left his body in kirtan, and then the rest of the pastime we'll describe because it's his disappearance day. So we know Haridas Thakur as Namacharya. This is the cover book of Rupa Vilasa's writing on his life. There's his murti in Puri by beneath the Siddha Bakul tree. Describe that just in a moment. As we know, Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, yet somehow he had this affinity for chanting Krishna's holy name even from his childhood. And as he became a young man, he began some travel and he went to the place called Dainapur near Haridaspur, where ISKCON has a center. And Ramchandra Khan was envious of the renown that Haridas Thakur had gathered from his saintly conduct and his chanting of the holy name. So he sent prostitute to get him to fall down. Instead, the prostitute became his devotee and became a chanter of the holy name. So the illustration shows, he said, take all the gold and jewels and ornaments that you've gathered from your profession, renounce them all, and come and sit by this tulsi at this very same cottage. I knew the purpose of your coming, but I stayed here just to deliver you, so you stay. She shaved her head, wore one cloth, and Haridas left, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as she went on to achieve spiritual perfection. Later, we read in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the life of Haridas Thakur, he went to Puliya, which is a place that's not far from where Advaita Acharya resided. Those two became very dear associates, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. And a similar event, not the same, but the Kazi in Puliya became very agitated at the renown of Haridas Thakur, and so he's being brought before the Kazi, trying to persuade him to give up the chanting of this Hindu name and just follow the practice of your own religion and everything will be nice. He was unable to do that. His attraction for Krishna's holy name was unstoppable. So he was beaten in so many marketplaces and survived. The saintliness of Haridas Thakur was then demonstrated. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just touching on these pastimes very briefly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and made his residence in Puri after Mahaprabhu's South India tour, many devotees came from Navadvip to see him. Haridas Thakur wanted to remain, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a residence that was at some distance, because that was the humility of Haridas. I'm unfit to enter the temple of Jagannath. So Mahaprabhu said, by seeing the chakra on top of the Jagannath temple, it's the same as seeing the deity, you can stay here. And so there he stayed and continued his chanting of 300,000 names of Krishna every day. That's a lot of chanting every day. 300,000 names. It comes to 3 times 64 rounds a day. If you just do the math, It means he was chanting all day long, unless he was chanting really fast. If you chant 16 rounds in 2 hours, then 4 times 16, or 64 rounds, will take you 8 hours. 3 times that is 24 hours. So he didn't have time for anything. Bathing and eating and maybe no time for resting. So throughout the night he would chant, and he was an extraordinary acharya, or example setting person for the chanting of the holy name. And this is a murti in the place where Lord Chaitanya had given him as his residence. Behind him is the remains of the Siddha Bakul tree. There it's shown, still growing from the place. It's a wonderful pastime. There was no Siddha Bakul tree at one point. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Haridas sitting there in the heat of the sun, he took one of the toothbrushes that Jagannath uses, made of Bakul tree. Maybe you've seen. I have one. Someone gave me one. So it's like made rough at the end, and the pujari offers each day a toothbrush made of a Bakul branch, softened at the end. And then Lord Chaitanya was given this, the remnants of Lord Jagannath. So he stuck the Bakul branch in the ground, and at once it blossomed into a tree, a Bakul tree, which has nice big leaves and produces nice shade, so that Haridas Thakur wouldn't have to sit in the sun. Another miracle. You could build a religion around just any one of these miracles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so from that time it's been known as Siddha Bakul. That's the, you know, that's if you're in Puri and you ask anybody, you know, where is the sitting place of Haridas Thakur, they may not know. But if you just say Siddha Bakul, then immediately they'll tell you where that is. That's how everyone knows the place. And those of you that like taking notes, you might want to take note of this section of Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's very, very beautiful prayers indicating the heart from Vrindavan Das Thakur's capturing the heart of Haridas Thakur, speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such humility and such shelter taking in the holy name, and glorifications and glorifications and glorifications of the holy name. So he not only set by example, but he gave teachings. There's so many things. Well, I'll mention one. In between, when he left Dainapol, before he went to the place where another challenge came to him from the Qazi of Puglia, he had spent some time at the residence of the Majumdar family. Majumdar family were the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami. And they were Vaishnavas, the Majumdar family. And so they were happy to host Haridas. So they gathered, they had a function. They gathered the Brahmins together to discuss the glories of the holy name. Very famous pastime. And so different brahmanas were from scripture citing the glories of the holy name. One said, from chanting of the holy name, one can free oneself from all sinful reactions. And another said, from chanting of the holy name, one can achieve the stage of liberation. And Haridas said, no, no, no. This is just a shadow or a glimmer of the holy name. This isn't the glory of the holy name. Even by Namabhas, one can achieve these things. But Shuddhanam, the position of ecstatic love of God can awaken. And one Brahmana challenged him. He said, how is this possible that an ordinary person, just by chanting the holy name, can achieve this exalted goal? Said, if it's not true, then I will cut off your nose. He was tossed out of the assembly. Haridas Thakur said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. And then gave scriptural reference after scriptural reference after scriptural reference. Although he's a chanter of the holy name, he also knew the glories of the holy name and the authority of scripture. So he was expert in his prachar as well as his achar. So this is a nice prachar section from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And as he was aging, it was difficult for him to complete his vrata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit him daily because Haridas would not enter the temple, so Lord Chaitanya received prasad from the pujaris and brought prasad for Haridas Thakur daily and would sit and associate with Haridas Thakur. They were so intimate in their loving relationship. When Haridas was not well, he was unable to take the Mahaprasad. He said, I can't refuse Mahaprasad, so I'll just take a morsel. And Lord Chaitanya was trying to encourage him, you're a perfected being. You're too old. You don't need to maintain this. No, I must maintain this. I must maintain this. I can't eat unless I complete my chanting. 300,000 names daily. And then this wonderful exchange came where Haridas said, I have one request of you. Please grant my request, without even saying what it was. And Lord Chaitanya said, whatever you wish, Haridas. So Haridas said, I have a sense that very soon you'll be completing your pastimes in this world. And I don't want to experience that pain of separation, of your departing. So please permit me, in your presence, to let go of my body. And while seeing your beautiful face, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Supreme Lord will surely grant your wish. So the next day he came, and this painting is illustrating wonderful kirtan. Mahaprabhu sitting directly in front of Haridas Thakur's face, so his eyes wide open, the loud chanting of the holy name, and Haridas gave up his body. Just like Grandfather Bhishma, at his own will, gave up his body. Similarly, Haridas Thakur had this power. Detached, certainly. Not only detached from his body, but transcendentally powerful. Another very beautiful painting of the same pastime. And, of course, the devotees had such love for Haridas when he left. They were feeling as you feel when the great dear personality leaves this world. They were feeling as this person is, you know, depicting, very, very, very sad, grieving the loss of Haridas. Some other very nice illustrations of this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, because of his love for Haridas, felt transcendental sadness, but at the same time, he had such love, he just picked up his body and began dancing. And with his dancing, then kirtan ensued. And dancing and dancing and just ecstatic kirtan. all over Puri. And gradually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the body of Haridas Thakur. Whoops. This is the same painting again. Very, very beautiful painting. To the ocean, or the sea. And there, with his own hand, the body of Haridas was bathed in the water of the sea. And then, some distance from the sea, with his own hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dug a pit or a hole in the sand, and with his own hand began filling the pit or the place with his own hand. So the samadhi of Haridas Thakur was completed. And then there isn't a very, the next painting isn't so good. It's Mahaprabhu went with his own hand gathering alms from people to arrange for a feast. And a huge feast in honor of Haridas Thakur was prepared. And with his own hand, Mahaprabhu served the feast. And no one would eat anything until Mahaprabhu would sit down and take prasad first. So it shows many things, the cultural way that when a great personality departs, how in procedure to honor them. And it shows the love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Haridas Thakur. So this is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Shiva Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. And Bhaktivinod Thakur, many generations later, similarly had great affinity for chanting of the holy name. And at a certain stage of his life, he made a residence. In fact, the current ISKCON temple in Jagannath Puri, if you go to Puri, you may wish to visit the ISKCON temple there. It was gifted to ISKCON as it was part of the property that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, where he performed bhajan, solitary bhajan, for many years in a solitary place. Right across the street, down a little lane, is the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, because he wanted to be proximate to Haridas Thakur. But one of the books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote was spoken by Haridas Thakur, called Harinama Chintamani. And this Harinama Chintamani title and the subject matter is taken both from this verse that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's taken from Padma Purana, which describes glories of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. The detail of this verse makes the subject matter of Harinam Chintamani. Chapter 2 starts going into the detail of the verse itself. And the book begins with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, visiting Haridas as he did at Siddha Bakul. There's the Siddha Bakul tree and his little bhajan kutir. One day, after bathing in the sea, Lord Chaitanya met Haridas Thakur under a Siddha Bakul tree. Happy at heart, he earnestly asked, "How may the conditioned souls be easily delivered?" Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver the conditioned souls in this age of Kali. He came to give the Yuga Dharma. So rather than giving teachings to Haridas, he had Haridas give the teachings. In his own little footnotes on Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Rupa Goswami give teachings on rasa, and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Ramananda Roy give the teachings of the goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur give the teachings on the holy name. So the whole book is the response to this question. It centers around the question. And some of you may be familiar, one of the first books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on Srimad Bhagavatam was this one. It was a lecture, but it became also a paper or a small book. The Bhagavad, its philosophy, its ethics, and its theology. So now we're speaking a little bit about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. He performed a lila, we can speak of it this way, where he was like a worldly person, highly aristocratic, highly educated, highly elevated, very much respected personality. But he had not received Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam until he was 36 years old. Now, we're very fortunate because Prabhupada made us fortunate. You just, you know, go to krishna.com, click, Srimad Bhagavatam, click, send one to my address, click, and it comes to your home. But during this time, offset printing was just beginning, and there just weren't copies of Srimad Bhagavatam available. He received a handwritten copy from a friend of his who happened to make an arrangement for him to have a Srimad Bhagavatam. And he read it, and his autobiography describes he was just uplifted. And so he read it again. And within about a year and a half after receiving it, he's writing about Srimad Bhagavatam, writing a book or a paper, and delivering that paper to his colleagues who didn't have an understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and didn't have an appreciation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a brilliant literateur. And in this Bhagavad, its philosophy, ethics, and theology, there's a section where he describes great literature of this world is, according to time and circumstance, a rewrite of scripture. And he uses the example of John Milton's Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. John Milton was a British author, and during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, or sometime shortly before, John Milton was a famous writer, and his book was a famous book. But it was according to the time and circumstance, he had taken its message, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. Bhaktivinoda Thakur similarly used the same principle in many of his writings, including Harinam Chintamani and others, Jiva Dharma and others, something that's contemporary so the people of the time could relate, and then took the message from the scripture. So the specific reference is in Antyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya, when visiting Haridas Thakur, asks him this question: how will these yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. So it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Haridas how to deliver the conditioned souls. So Harinam Chintamani starts with the same question. And then the answer given by Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he presents in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own way in Bengali. The answer that's given, Haridas Thakur says, of course, you know, with all humility, you're asking me something that you have come into this world to deliver it. So, but you can make me dance, like Prabhupada said. Make me dance as you like. So, Haridas Thakur said the chanting of the holy name. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing that explanation, asked another question. On this earth, there are many living entities, the Lord said, some moving and some not moving. What will happen to the trees, plants, and insects, and other living entities? How will they be delivered from material bondage? And Haridas Thakur said, by your presence they'll be delivered. In fact, they've already been delivered. And Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, consider what you're saying. If they were already delivered, the place would be empty. There'd be nobody around, and no trees and plants and insects. And he said, they've already been delivered, and others that were not manifest have now manifested. They've taken their place. And he concludes, you have preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great acharya, 100 books, try writing a Vyasa Puja offering. And how long does it take? What to speak of a book that's an accessible presentation of Bhakti's teaching that's relatable to the audience that you wish to reach. And his audiences that he reached were, you know, this end of the spectrum and that end of the spectrum and everything in between. Writings in Sanskrit, translations of scripture, commentaries on those scripture, writings in Bengali, songs. I did this seminar once on his Sharanagati songs. And a number of, just studying Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, it's like, he was amazing. His Namahatta preaching was in villages where people couldn't read and write. But they could sing. Boy, can Bengali sing. And so he just composed songs that gave the teachings. And then they could remember the songs and sing the songs and learn the teachings. And then he put them all together in terms of, you know, in a set of songs. And then that was given to the village elder that could, you know, read and write, and that's how he conducted or began the Namahatta program. What a range, what compassion. Same as Mahaprabhu's compassion, delivering all the moving and non-moving living entities by the loud chanting of the holy name. So next time we have kirtan, leave the windows open so all the trees and the plentitude of peacocks here in Gita Nagari and all the other varieties of living entities will benefit. So, yeah. Let us say together his pranam mantra. Namo bhaktivinodaya satchit ananda namine gaura shakti sarupaya rupanuga varayate. And I'll read the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchitananda Bhaktivinoda, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa. Powerful, powerful, visionary, acharya, transformer, so many things. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, along with many other devotees. And that particular morning, I'm referring to Prabhupada was in a mood of glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it started, you know, appreciating, seeing in the distance the tower of the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was describing that gift and the challenge. Literally, he risked his life to do that because there were people with vested interests on the other side of the Ganga. And in Bengal, you don't do things like that. But he not only he did it, he went door to door with his cloth extended, asking for a rupee from any gentleman. It's called risk your life to establish the veracity of the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Prabhupada was going on describing his gifts, his achievements, something like we've been doing for the ISKCON 50th of the gift of ISKCON through our founder Acharya, or a number of us. Somehow Nutama just ends up being the MC at different things. You know, those of us that rode in the boat in the Boston Harbor and just glorifying the meaning of Prabhupada's arrival in Boston 50 years prior. So the gifts that Prabhupada gave, the gifts that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave were enormous and enormous and enormous and enormous. Prabhupada referred to the fact that on the very year of his birth, 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was envisioning that the whole world should know of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he sent this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and precepts in English language, to universities all over the world. Such a visionary. And on and on. He predicted that day will come when people will come to the streets of Navadvip from all countries, Russia and Africa and China and America and Europe, and raise their arms, sing Jai Sachi Nandana, Jai Sachi Nandana. When it was rice paddies. And, obscure, nobody knew. But he was that visionary and invested that confidence in Bhaktisiddhanta, who invested the confidence in Srila Prabhupada, who did it. And so he just was, it was like he was levitating, just describing Bhaktivinoda's life and his contributions. And then he fell silent and someone said, Prabhupada, he was so powerful, such an amazing acharya. Why didn't he arrange for spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the world? And Prabhupada was quiet for a bit. And then he said, he left something for us to do. And then he started speaking about the temple of Vedic planetarium. And I'm leaving something for you to do. It was really a wonderful morning walk. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such a wonderful acharya. And this is, we're honoring his appearance day. And now to connect his writing and his message with what we're doing here in Gita Nagari this weekend. From Chaitanya Shikshamrita, written in 1886, the Nectarian Teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a philosophical text written in Bengali, a prose, which in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's style of writing elaborately describes how to apply Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in everyday life. It wasn't abstract. It was very, very specific and relevant. And in chapter 2, there's a section. First, it's, of course, the fundamental, the primary teaching of pure devotional service, attaining pure devotional service. In the second chapter, it's entitled, or translated, secondary duties, or religious activities. Now I'm borrowing a little bit modified language from one of Bhakti Tirtha Swami's writings. There are, making reference to this, there are four essential ingredients to a strong, viable spiritual life. If any one of these elements are not present, then the individual will not be properly protected and or cared for. And the first one, oh physicians, the physical body must be cared for. And the mind must be sufficiently stimulated. And the cultivation of social interaction and well-being. If Krishna permits, this is like, put it on your calendar if you're interested. Over the Labor Day weekend in 2016, I've invited Shivaram Maharaj, who has to match it up with his schedule, at least the Skype call we had, he can. I have to verify. But we're most likely going to be having a Varnashram, exploring Varnashram retreat here in Gitanagari, with one full day as Shivaram Maharaj's day. We invited him to speak. He did a live Skype presentation. Did you hear his presentation at Uttama? No? Every year, we have a summer gathering of our North American GBCs, and different speakers, different GBC members speak on selected topics, relevant topics. So, so moved by Shivaram Maharaj's enthusiasm for Varnashram, that I invited him to speak. I didn't know exactly what he was going to speak. And it was so amazing that afterwards, I let it sit for a day. So I wasn't just like, I wanted to measure the reasonableness of the invitation. But I invited him, would you be willing to come and, as you're doing all over Hungary, not just at the farm, it's not like, farm people should be Varnashram. ISKCON should be Varnashram. The different manifestations of that. And he described in this presentation how he's going about it. So I invited him, would you be willing to come and speak on this topic so that those of us in North America can hear this, this idea that you have of how to. And his presentation is not like, this is it. This is the definitive word. It's rather his perspective on something that Prabhupada said he wanted. Relevant to Gita Nagari, that's like history of ISKCON or history of Prabhupada. When he was very, very ill, a suggestion was made, Prabhupada, you're like Arjuna. You'll die on the battlefield. Why don't you make a tour of the world again? And Prabhupada was, yes, let's go. And one of the specific missions that he wanted to accomplish was visit Gita Nagari, and while in Gita Nagari, teach how to establish Varnashram. It's not a secret that Srila Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to do this, and we haven't done it because we don't really have a clear idea how to do it. Oh, just, you know, he wants it. Anyway, Shivaram Maharaj is very deep, thoughtful, amazing Vaishnavan. Hopefully he'll come, and hopefully if your schedule permits, you'll also come and attend. Devamrita Maharaj is going to do a cartwheel and a backflip and somehow try to make it here also, and from his what he's going to be doing at the end of August next year. So that's this third topic, cultivation of social interaction. Just borrow a phrase from Shivaram Maharaj. We're not just a religion that has these beliefs and these and those practices. One of the things that separates us, or it's an outstanding gift to the world, is a social structure that fosters God consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wanted for us to give to the world. So tune in Labor Day weekend 2016 here in Gitanagari at the feet of Radha Damodar. I hope he doesn't change his mind. He's the star of the show. So the cultivation of social interactions and well-being, and the fourth, of course, is all of this must be done in connection with the study and maintenance of bona fide scriptures. The scriptures will provide guidance. So, highlighted there, the physical body must be cared for. So, this is a retreat in pursuance of, or the practitioners of, this number one. Of course, as devotees, you're practicing Krishna consciousness, and as physicians, you're assisting the individuals who are practicing Krishna consciousness and not yet practicing Krishna consciousness to be properly protected and cared for. So you have a very wonderful gift to give, the gift of physical well-being. Physical body must be cared for, and the gift of Krishna consciousness. My understanding, I may not be saying it right, but after morning class and breakfast prasad, and we come back again, this is the topic of how to, as professionals in the medical field or students becoming trained or in the medical profession in general, how to utilize that facility for giving the gift of Krishna consciousness to those who you're ministering unto. And different ways without transgressing the codes of your profession. How to possibly and practically do that. The one of the principal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip was Murari Gupta, and it is said that Murari Gupta was such a physician that anyone that came to him would not only be cured of their illness, but they would also be given the gift of Krishna Prema, because he was a qualified Vaishnava of that caliber. We may not be qualified to give the gift of Krishna Prema, but we could be qualified to give the gift of the seed of bhakti and means of nurturing that seed of bhakti. So the ultimate chapter one, it's not just presented here, but chapter two, one of these essential items, serving all different types of people. All different types of people. Two weekends ago, we were in Houston. One of the persons who came to speak at this event was a Prabhupada disciple named Rambaru Mataji. I'd never met her before. Devamrita Maharaj, you know the Rambaru Mataji? Rambaru? Okay. She's in the medical field in some capacity, don't know exactly what, but she was sitting right over here next to me. She was the topic that some of us were asked to speak about was the gift of ISKCON to the world. A very amazing statement she made. The gift of ISKCON to the world is following the four regular principles, and she put it in the context of medical profession. From her as a medical practitioner, whatever the field that she works in, she went through each of the four regular principles, and so many of the medical problems that people have is because they don't follow the regular principles. If people could follow regular principles, their health would be enormously benefited. And, you know, details, and she was like, rah, rah, regular principles. To help medical well-being. You know, the physical body must be cared for based on spiritual teachings. You know, in the secondary duties, it's not the primary. The primary is the Maha Mantra. And the secondary is these four things. But you must do them. And Some of you may be familiar with Sri Brahma Samhita, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur touches on the same topic naturally. He's in disciplic succession in the same line as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his son, and heard his teachings elaborately and assimilated them. And in that section, it's related to your profession. It's the final section of Sri Brahma Samhita where, anticipating Lord Brahma's doubt, now that I have all this ecstatic realization of the personality of Godhead, how is it that I'm going to be able to engage in the activity of creation, because he hasn't created the universe yet? How can I engage in these activities and not forget these higher spiritual practices or higher spiritual realizations, which may be a concern for some medical practitioners or anybody that has a profession, to maintain your Krishna consciousness while doing your worldly duty? Or do your Krishna consciousness and neglect your worldly duty? Either way, it's, you know, this side or that side. So Krishna addresses that question, and in short, when these things, these worldly necessities and worldly duties of life, and Bhaktisiddhanta elaborates, lists them out of requirements, as long as you have a body, here's sets of requirements and categories and subdivisions. But if you join those things with the primary activities, then they can be as spiritually elevating and purifying as the primary activities themselves. In your profession, you have the capacity in your own lives to do that, and somehow, which is the topic that's going to be discussed after breakfast, somehow transmit that same spirit and maybe even some of the details to people who you're ministering unto. And it's a very natural thing to do because those people look up to you. Your medical practitioners, they're placing themselves in your care. So if you say X or Y or Z, it's going to be taken far more, it'll go in far more than, you know, somebody off the street that says X, Y, or Z. It's just that the position of respect in society, there's a great responsibility to properly utilize that, and it's a great power. And as practicing devotees, it's really exciting, you know, the possibilities of collectively, you who are in the medical profession, what you can do that the rest of us folks can't do, because we don't have that position that you all have and access to so many, 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 many people. Of course, you have to be careful with your medical, you know, the codes of ethics and what you're supposed to and not supposed to do. So that'll be explored after breakfast. A few more quotes and we're done. This is a quote from the Brahmanas in relation to King Vena. The Brahmanas said, "The great sages began to think that although a Brahmana is peaceful and impartial, because he is equal to everyone, it is still not his duty to neglect poor humans. By such neglect, a Brahmana's spiritual power diminishes, just as water kept in a cracked pot leaks out." So your Krishna conscious asset, along with your profession, has to somehow find a way into the people, the Krishna conscious dimension of what you're carrying, being somehow transmitted. It's a must do. Do not neglect that. Then, Dadichi, there's many places in the Bhagavatam that speak of a saintly person's duty to sacrifice for others. This is a very nice one amongst the many. "One who has no compassion for humanity and its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. If one is unhappy to see the distress of other living beings and happy to see their happiness, his religious principles are appreciated as imperishable by exalted persons who are considered pious and benevolent. So we have a great opportunity and a great responsibility in this secondary principle aspect of life, and to somehow transmit the primary through the medium of that secondary. That's one of the reasons that we've gathered together here in Gita Nagari. And this is the last little slide from Bhagavad Gita, this verse from Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tat Tat Evi Tarorjana Sa Yat Pramanam Kurute Lokastad Anuvartate. Krishna says, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, by your very profession, you fall into this category of a Shrestha person. And then there's the others, Evetara Jana, the people in general. People in general look up to such people as yourselves. So, example setters you must be. And it's a privilege. And it's a great honor. And it's a great responsibility. And great opportunity to utilize your profession as how can we effectively give proper medical care. There's so many questions to ask that, you know, you can all explore together in the course of your Sangha. I mean, not just this one time, but going out over a period of time. How to be example setters and give spiritual well-being and potential health care, especially to the Vaishnava community, in an effective way. Mari Gupta, who's the keynote speaker following after breakfast, was one of the very enthused, instrumental persons during a period of time in North America where we were thinking, at least trying, to think more strategically. And one of the petals of the strategic planning for North America was how to envision medical care being adequately and sufficiently provided for all the practicing devotees in North America, U.S. and Canada. So he was taking a leading role, along with other medical practitioners, and literally going from temple to temple and asking, what's your plan, what's your plan, what's your plan? So that we could, you know, do something better than whatever was going on. And if those, some places had it together and some places didn't. And at some point in time, it'd be nice to revive that consideration. And with, you know, it's one of those directional kinds of things. I just end with this little appreciation or sharing. My involvement in this physician sangha event, this retreat, started with a visit to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. And can I mention your name? Is that okay? Yeah, okay. A nice devotee, Gwen, was in the audience, and we spoke a little bit later after the program, and she's from California in a long-term medical study program at University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. So I happened to ask her How did you get started in Krishna consciousness? And I'll probably get some of the details wrong, but the essence was she was interning in some capacity in the medical field during some procedure. It was a surgery procedure. If I remember correctly, she said, I had this like existential dilemma episode right in the middle of the surgery. And the physician recognized that she was, you know, something was going on. And so while the surgery was going on, he spoke some things that helped her, you know, get over that. And then later, they had some one-on-one discussion, and it turned out he was a Hare Krishna physician. And he gave her a book, a Bhagavad Gita or something, and then she found out about the temple, started going to the temple, and started practicing Krishna consciousness. Yay! And then in the course of, you know, that was really nice. And then in the course of discussing, I commented, wow, you're on this really long, so many years of continued study. And she shared a few things and said, in the course of exploring which field I would be engaged in medicine, I spoke with many doctors, and I found that many doctors don't like being doctors. They don't like their profession. She said, I think there's something that they're missing. And I think it's, you know, you have to connect Krishna or devotion to the medical profession. And I would really like the opportunity to associate with those that are experienced in the medical profession and, you know, get some mentoring, like how to do it. So I don't end up like those people that don't like being medical doctors in the medical profession. I said, fantastic idea. She gets the credit. So I just said, let me think about how that possibly could happen. So I had met Prem Vilas in primarily from our North American leadership meetings that we have every year in January in Texas. So I called Prem Vilas, and I know his wife from, she did her residency in New York and stayed at the Brooklyn Temple, so we got to know one another from that experience. I called up Prem Vilas and said, wow, I've been thinking about this, let's do it, Maharaj, rah, rah, rah. So here we are. And so there's many things that can be accomplished by coming together to help accomplish what Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisioned as a necessity. If you want to become a balanced and cared for and protected Vaishnava and extend that balance and care and protection to others, this is the group. So have a great time sharing these things, not only in the sessions, but, you know, offline, and let's see where all this goes. There are lots of possibilities. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we can turn the light on, somebody, and then see if there's any discussion. We have 10 minutes or so. Comments or questions, anyone? Yes. Do we have a portable mic? Look at right there.
Maharaj, can you comment? What's your thought on what Bhaktivinoda Thakur means by saying mental stimulation in the life of a devotee? And how is it different from...
What Bhaktivinoda Thakur means by what?
The mind must be sufficiently...
Mind must be sufficiently stimulated. Well... sure. For devotees, it means devotional service. It's similar to, not the same as, but similar to Prabhupada's statement about management. Management, it means giving you know, regularly giving challenges to people to meet in terms of service, and then with the challenges, the stimulation of the mind of how to do this service in the proper way, in the proper mood. And it's not just, you know, subject matter. You know, universities have gazillion different subject matters to stimulate the mind. For us, it's stimulate the mind towards how to improve my capacity for service and pleasing Krishna and pleasing the Vaishnavas. It's a devotional stimulation of the mind. Now, we have one. We have a mind. It needs to be, you know, subject matter or contemplations that will elevate us and bring us closer to Krishna. So those that are guiding others need to know the art of how to take the mind and direct the mind towards that which will be elevating. And then those of us that are practicing, you know, that should be our contemplation also. It's, you know, Anuttama Prabhu, one of the things that you said on the boat, I got three feedbacks from people that just said, you know, wow, what Anuttama said was, one of the things he said was, now it's ISKCON 50, one of the things that we should be thinking of following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada is, what's next? Just that little phrase, like, really inspired these three people that got back to me. Because, you know, he said many of the things along with that, as, you know, to help explain what he meant. But, you know, Prabhupada was like that. Whenever something was accomplished, it was always, what's next, and what's next, and what's next. So that stimulates the mind. Never be complacent. Always be interested in furthering our trajectory towards Krishna and engaging other people in taking steps toward Krishna. Very similar to what we're doing on this topic of, as medical practitioners, you know, sufficiently stimulating the mind. How can we, it's just, you know, one of many, as medical practitioners, help the many persons that we're in contact with come a step or two closer to Krishna. As an example. How to do that. So it doesn't just mean, you know, learn a new field of medicine or read another book. It can mean those things. But, you know, especially we're interested in what will be something that's offerable to Krishna. You know, and then you have to narrow down your options because you get too many things and you don't do anything. So how to prioritize what you do. And that's also stimulating. How to use your time wisely and actually offer something of substance to Krishna. Does that help? Okay. Something else? Yes? Okay. Go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I would like to ask, like, throughout the presentation, it talks about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridasa Thakur got so much love and compassion for all living entities, and so much love and compassion is so important. It seems like it's like the foundation. So how do we try to remind ourselves and or cultivate or every day, just sometimes we have ups and downs. Sometimes we're like, oh, we're so tired. Let me just concentrate on myself first. Sometimes how do you get so inspired? Like, make sure we do this because we have compassion. We need to do this because, you know, other living entities are suffering. How do we make sure we don't lose focus on that?
Well,
if you can give some insight. Thank you.
Nice question. There's so many things. The primary thing is associate with those that have that. You stand next to fire, you get warm. Find persons that you know are consistently inspired in Krishna consciousness, and you'll become similarly. Then another, because I just gave this presentation on, interestingly, beyond good health, because I was in China, in fact, anyway, without the detail. Health is an interest all over the world, and is becoming it's little of interest in China with all the bad air. And anyway, health is becoming more of a concern. So people are becoming interested in yoga and other things for health. So I was asked to speak on this. And one of the things that's a necessity for good health is you get sufficient rest. Just like if you want to chant good japa, it helps. In fact, it's a necessity that your body is sufficiently rested, because otherwise, unless you're Haridas Thakur, that you don't need sleep. You know, so, you know, do those things that maintain your physical well-being, so that when the hearing and associating opportunity comes, it resonates. It's connected to our topic right here. Specifically, you mentioned sometimes I get tired. So make sure you get sufficient rest. And make sure you maintain your... But when one lives a life of sacrifice, there's a point where the sacrifice is such that it debilitates your ability to serve. So don't do that. Don't go either way, to either extreme. Say, one of the terms that Devamrita Maharaj likes very much is sustainability. He gave a talk the other day at Penn State on sustainable happiness to engineers that have a little, you know, sustainability through engineering. So he's sustainable happiness. So that which you can sustain, so you're, let your enthusiasm level sustain, because you're properly balanced. You know, you have needs, you have capacities, know what they are, and you know, use your time management skill in such a way that you can sustain that enthusiasm in good association. We had one hand over here, and then one hand over there.
Maharaj, my question is that we understand the topic, we sort of know the theory, but my best experience is to learn from real examples, real cases.
So real cases?
Yes. Like somebody who has had success in imparting Krishna consciousness to the patients, or somebody
else. Guess what? That's coming up.
Yes.
Coming
that will be more interesting. So, yeah.
And then different ways, yes. Different models.
Yes. That'll be more enlightening.
Here you are, gathered together with people that are doing successfully. Two more questions.
Hare Krishna. I'm Kaushik from Philly, and I'm a oral surgery resident. I'm not going to ask a question, but going to share like how we can spread the Krishna consciousness by taking this to profession.
Okay, that's our next session.
Oh, okay.
It's our next session. So if you don't mind, because it's 9:27, make sure you raise your hand, they'll call on you. Okay? Marai Gupta, you make sure he gets called on, okay? Yeah. He's the keynote speaker. Yes.
Jai Maharaj, I really appreciated the story that you shared with us about Gwen and how her desire kind of created. She's sitting right in the center of a circle, which I think is really appropriate too. And when I heard you telling the story of Gwen, I really saw that the physician who was working with you, I guess was your mentor, he listened really deeply to you when he was she. So when she was teaching you, she wasn't just listening and watching what you were doing physically. She was aware of your being. And through that connection, then she was able to...
It was a she.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was able to take you to that next level. And so in that number 3 of the cultivation of social interaction and well-being, I was just speaking with an Ayurvedic doctor who, her sister, her husband, ex-husband, and her mother and father are all physicians, and I said that I help teach communication skills to physicians, and she said, oh my God, they really need that. And it sounds like you really had someone who had that, and I just really wanted to shine a bright light on that, because it's a very beautiful kind of awakening that just blossomed from that. Yeah.
Sounds like a happy ending to our morning class. I think we'll end here. Bhaktivinod Thakur ki. Haridas Thakur ki. Shri Siddhartha Damodar ki. Gaur Premanandi Haribol.